No? Sort of?
It wasn't until you said that.
You, until I said grooving with me? Okay, so we're going to start our first topic tonight. We're going to spend probably a couple to a few weeks on it, and that is prayer. And we're starting with prayer because it's really the starting point of your walk with God. You prayed to accept Jesus into your heart. And so if you couldn't pray, you really couldn't do that because you need to be able to talk to God, to communicate with Him. And so that's what we're going to start with, prayer, the starting point of our Christian walk. So, are you guys at Ephesians 6? I told you to put a finger there. Okay, some of you did. Pretty good. Verse 13 is where we're going to start. Y'all got it? Okay. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And this is what we're going to focus on tonight. Praying always, verse 18, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So, the first question we need to ask when we're looking at prayer, taking a deeper look at it, is simply, what is prayer? Does anybody want to take a swing at it? Swing. Yes, Ben. Yes, that's exactly what I have in my notes. Wow, you are a boss. Huh? You read my notes? Is that what it is? You cheated off me? I knew it. Yeah, as we go a little deeper, as weeks go on, we're going to get more into the theological aspects of prayer. But the simple definition and the most broad and most important definition is that prayer is the miraculous privilege that we have to speak with God. It's incredible. We are talking with God when we pray. And it's not something that we've made happen on our own. It's something that God has given us the opportunity to do. Prayer is also universal. So what that means is that you don't need a genuine relationship with God to be able to pray. Now, the prayer of a Christian, someone who has been made righteous by the blood of Jesus, is more effective and more powerful. We see that in Scripture. So our main focus tonight is going to be to see why prayer is so important, how it is such a powerful tool in our lives, and why we should be praying as much as we can. Once again, that's to see why prayer is so important, how it is such a powerful tool, and why we should be praying as much as we can. Ezekiel chapter 22 is really going to display this well for us. It's insane. In this passage, we zoom in at the children of Israel. They're in a crazy time, and they are in complete corruption and evil. Verses, I think it's like 7 through 13, summarize what they're doing in those chapters. And I'm just going to go through the bullet points to name what they're doing. So their leaders were murderers. The children there hated their parents. There was racism. Orphans and widows were taken advantage of. People hated the things of God. There was idolatry going on. Everywhere you went, fights and riots were breaking out all over the streets and in public places. There were a few things going on that I can't mention because it would make this teaching PG-13, and I'm going to keep it PG, but it was some bad stuff. And to top it all off, they had assassins. Literally, people were hiring people to kill people. I did not know this, but like we're talking hired guns, not guns because they didn't have the technology, but people were bribing people to go and kill other people. So in summary, the Israelites were the city of Gotham. Literally, like where Batman lives, you know, Gotham, Gothamites. Yeah, so bad. Who's Batman, really? But like, think about it. Batman was an orphan in Israel. They like disregarded the orphans. People, Batman, like, Gotham is filled with assassins. We don't see them a lot in movies, but there's a whole bunch of assassins in Gotham. Yeah, it's crazy. And, like, the worst thing is the people of Israel don't even have a Batman. They don't even have one person who's, like, trying to fight off all of these horrible things that the people are engaged in. Now, because of the evil and the corruption that they were involved in, God had to punish the sins that they were involved in, the sins that they were committing. They either needed to repent or God had to punish them for what they were doing. And in verse 30 of chapter 22, God says, "I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land." So God said, if I can find one person amongst the children of Israel, one person who will take his or her focus off of the things that are going on in this world and will look to me, cry out to me, if I can find one person who will do that, who will turn his focus toward God, he will spare the people of Israel. He won't have to punish their sin. And, like, they won't have to be destroyed. And it goes on in the verse, God says, "But I found no one." There was not one person. And the people of Israel received the full punishment for their sin. This is a crazy thing. Because God, what this shows us, is that God has grace, mercy, and love, and blessings that he is just waiting to pour out on each of us. There are so many situations in our lives that God is sitting on his throne, waiting to get involved in, waiting to have his way in it, but for some reason that I can't completely explain, it's a reason beyond my understanding. For some reason, he waits for us to pray to him and to ask. How crazy is that? The God of the universe has all of these blessings, all of this grace, all this mercy, and he waits. He waits for us to turn to him. He waits for us to ask. He waits for us to pray. Now, what this doesn't mean, and I need to clear it up, it doesn't mean that God does everything we want if we ask him enough. God is not a genie, and that's a really good thing, because if Aladdin showed us anything, he showed us that if you have a genie that'll give you 3 wishes to do whatever you want, by the second one, things are going to be messed up, right? I mean, in Aladdin, it was rough. It worked out in the end, but leading up to that, it was really rough. There was a lot of corruption and a lot of evil that came from that. So thankfully, God is not a genie to us. Now we take this concept, we take it back to our passage in Ephesians chapter 6. And here God's talking about the whole armor of God. And you guys have heard about this before, of course. You've probably like sung songs about the armor of God. Anybody know like, "Put on the armor of God"? I don't know. But I think I have heard some armor of God songs. But Paul does something important. He goes over the armor of God. He goes over the whole thing. And then right at the end, in verse 18, he says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." God has the whole armor ready for us. It's prepared for us. He's established it. He's gotten it ready. It's strong. It's powerful. But if we are not praying at all times, if we are not asking for that armor to be applied to us, we are missing out on the fullness of the power of the armor of God. Here God is, sitting on his throne right now, And for all of you to be, all of mankind, he has been doing this, watching you closely, planning things for you, planning incredible things, looking at what you're going through and saying, oh, we can do awesome things with your school year this year. I'm so excited for what we are going to accomplish in your school year. Looking at your week and saying, oh yeah, it started a little rough, but it is going to end in such a great way, and I cannot wait to get in on this with you. And looking at a day that starts out bad, and God has a plan to turn it out for the better. And he's watching you, watching what you're going through, and seeing all these things. But he gives us the privilege, and what I would even say is our responsibility, to pray to him and ask for his plans to come into action. How crazy is that? God, who is in complete control of everything, puts things in motion, plans them for you, gets it ready to go. He's ready for his will to be done in your life, and it will be beyond what you could even imagine. But he waits. Most of the time, he waits for you to ask. He waits for you to take your mind, your focus, off of what's right at hand, and to look up to God in prayer and say, Lord, let your plan come into action. Why does he wait? I don't know. It's really hard to fathom. Why has God given us such a privilege, so much really responsibility in prayer? It is a hard thing to fathom. And there's thoughts for reasons why God would wait for us, why God would give us the option, if you will. But it's pretty debatable, so if you want, we can talk about it later. But it brings out the question, do we pray enough? We know that God has incredible plans for us, plans to give us a future and a hope that is beyond what we could ever imagine. He just says, ask. Just ask. Just say, Lord, let your will be done here. And so the question comes up, do we pray enough? When we have access to such a privilege, access to so much blessing, so much grace that we are missing out on because we're just not asking, are we praying enough? And I look in my life and see the power of prayer, and there's no way I'm praying enough. Sometimes my day goes bad, and then I just have like a me fest. I'm just like, I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not talking to God. I'm driving really angry because it's a hard day. And it's selfish. And instead of doing that, I need to take God into it. Sometimes my days are busy. And so instead of setting apart more time to pray and get God involved with what I'm going through, I kind of diminish that. I shorten it and go on to what is right at hand in my day. So do we pray enough? That's something to discuss in our small groups. When we have access to such an incredible blessing, are we praying enough? And then how much have we missed out on just because we didn't, in the moment when something wasn't going the way we expected to, or right before something that we weren't unsure of was about to happen, how much did we miss out on? Because like the children of Israel, we didn't stand in that gap. We didn't turn our focus to God and say, Lord, let your will be done. Let your grace flow. Let your mercy and your love be poured out upon us. And he's ready to do it. He's waiting to do it. He just wants us to turn our focus to him. He wants us to ask. He doesn't want to just give and give and give. Well, I mean, he does want to just give and give and give. But if we don't want it, if we're not open to receiving it, if we'd rather go our own way because it seems easier or because it seems more enjoyable, maybe it makes more sense to us in the moment, God's not going to stop us. God will let us have our way, but we're able to bring him in all the time, able to let his will be done. As I come to a close, I want to look at one person who really understood the importance of, like it says in verse 18 of our passage, of praying always in awe and perseverance, praying to the Lord. His name's Joseph Scriven, and he's no longer alive. He's really old and stuff. He's an old guy. But he was a poet, and like none of you know him, right? Who knows Joseph Scriven? You know Joseph Scriven? She's heard of Joseph Scriven. Wow, I'm impressed. But I didn't even know about him until I started researching, so okay. But he's an incredible dude. At age 25, Joseph Scriven, he was engaged to a beautiful woman. They were due to be married. Everything was going smooth for him. And the night before their wedding, his fiance drowned on accident and she passed away. And Joseph Scriven, this rocked his world. He was never the same after this. It impacted him in a way that caused him to move from his family. He grew up in Ireland, but he moved to Canada because he had to get away. He had to get his mind off of things and start focusing on new things. So he goes away to Canada to mourn, to really get his thoughts off of such tragedy. And years later, he meets another girl. And they start dating. They date for like 2 years, and then they get engaged, and things are really starting to shape up for Joseph. Things are going smooth. His life is getting back together. He's starting to look at the glass as half full. It's no longer half empty. But then his fiance catches pneumonia. And what so often just blows over, it didn't for her. And just a few weeks before their wedding, she passes away because of this illness. And Joseph, again, is struck down in one of the lowest points of his life when he thought that things could not get worse. They started to get a little bit better, and then it got worse again. And we think that things could not get any worse for him. But later in his life, he was still living in Canada. He moved from Ireland, and he stayed there in Canada. And he got a message, what would have been a letter, that his mother had developed a deadly disease and that she was terribly ill. And in that moment, Joseph was heartbroken. Joseph was at the lowest he had been in his life. And he was so poor that he could not leave Canada and go visit his mother. So what he does is he writes her a poem. And it's called Pray Without Ceasing. And it was later put to music. And I want to read the poem tonight because he really shows us that prayer is the most important thing. No matter what you go through in life, no matter what you will go through, prayer is so important. So I want to read this song, or what was originally a poem, to you. And just listen to the words. If you need to close your eyes to focus on what he's really saying in this poem, do that. And just try to take in what he writes in this poem. He wrote, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. This was a man who understood that prayer is what is going to transform any situation. If it doesn't transform the outcome, it will certainly transform your heart on the matter. It will certainly transform your peace in the situation. Guys, you can leave it. We can clean it up after. But how can we have this heart of prayer that Joseph Scriven had? To say, even in the midst of such sorrow, what peace I so often forfeit, what needless pain I bear, simply because I'm not carrying everything to my God in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we sometimes, like it happens so often, using jargon, we can forget about the power that is available through prayer, the grace that you have for us, ready at any moment, if we will simply ask of you. So Lord, we pray that you would teach us to have the heart that you desire to have toward prayer. Teach us to pray without ceasing, to pray on every occasion, to stay alert and persistent in our prayers for all, Lord. And teach us to have the heart that Joseph Scriven had, to be in such a low and challenging place in life, but to still know that prayer is such a powerful, important aspect in each and every one of our lives. We pray that you would go before us as we discuss this in small groups, be in everything that we say and everything that we do, and help us to be challenged by what we've learned here, but also challenge each other as we discuss what we've taken away from this. We love you so much, Father, and we thank you for the love that you display toward us every single day. And we pray this in your name. Amen. So next week, there's a passage in the Bible where Jesus literally says, when you pray, pray like this. So next week, we're going to look at how to pray. When we look at his example, what can we take from it? What can we apply from it? What can we glean from it? And how can we change the way that we pray every single day? And going into our small groups, there's a couple questions on your leader little pamphlet, so make sure you check that out. Terry's group will combine with Kyla's group. Is that cool? Cool. Yeah, great.